This with FRN News, I'm John Scott. Prospects for passing a large infrastructure bill have fallen flat as President Trump has announced that he won't work with Democratic lawmakers on policy while they continue to investigate him. This came after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's accusation earlier in the day of the president being engaged in a cover-up. Severe storms that churned up tornadoes have prompted flooding concerns in Missouri, Kansas, and Oklahoma. River levels are rising now after days of severe weather that has been blamed on at least three deaths. U.S. border agents temporarily closing their primary facility for processing migrants in South Texas. This comes one day after authorities say a 16-year-old died after being diagnosed with the flu at that facility. And Prime Minister Theresa May urging lawmakers to support a new Brexit plan. She plans to put it to a vote in Parliament in June. This is SRN News.
We're expecting a mix of sun and clouds today and a high of 92. This evening will be mostly clear with a low of 72. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. The high will be 88 degrees. Friday, sunny with a high of 93. And beginning Saturday, a week-long heat wave is expected to begin with a high of 95.
Well, all engines are definitely running. This is Brad Sykes and Doug McCary with SWAT Radio. And, I'm running in here to be with you, Doug. Good to be with
running
you.
From a meeting that I just saw you at.
Exactly.
A while ago. So
I know you do this from time to time. I mean, maybe it's happening more often than I care to admit, is that I'll be meeting with somebody and just completely lose track of what time it is. Thanks for walking into Starbucks, because I was like...
You're like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
There's a radio
program.
We're
like 10 minutes away.
Yeah. Well, I am glad that you made it in here today. It was sadly, the last SWAT meeting this semester. I call it semester. We operate almost like on a school semester system where we go from January to May, and then we pick it back up again in September and go through December. But we do have a summer SWAT retreat on August 3rd that
you don't want to miss.
Yeah, it's
gonna be fun.
I'm excited. We've already got 50 guys signed up for it, and it's still 2 months away. So, and that, you know, that's a good sign, because men typically wait to the last minute anyway.
Why do we do that? Is it because we're waiting for something better to come along?
I don't know.
That's what I think it is. I think we're, you know what? I may go to that unless something better comes along. Listen, there won't be anything better than the SWAT summer retreat. I can say that because I've been to a few of them. They're it's not a weekend. It's one day. It is.
It's 8 to 8. Yeah. It's 8 to 8. You come out, and it's a lot of fun. By the way, Brad and I will be sharing for the next few weeks on Friday at the Jacksonville Business Fellowship. And you can come down there and listen. I'll be sharing this week and next, and Brad will be sharing a couple of weeks. And then we'll both be sharing the last week. But we'll actually be going over the SWAT five, the five
That's right.
core values of SWAT being a spiritual warrior. Advancing truth and what that means. And the Jacksonville Business Fellowship has been meeting a long time. Ben Goldsmith, I think, was the guy that kicked it off, wasn't it?
Probably over 20 years ago. By the way, I got that email, and I don't know if Rick Weaver mentioned anything to you, but when we wrapped up the broadcast yesterday, I went down, got my car, as I always do, pulled up my emails, see what it is, and I get this email about this Jacksonville Business Fellowship, and there's your picture in the email. And I responded back to Rick, and I said, hey, Rick, You need to let Doug know. He needs a picture that's not from when he was 20 years old.
Hey, I was not 20 in that picture, actually. That picture is one that I took when I was in Texas. So it was a few years ago.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
It was about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago. But I do need an updated picture. I actually have one with you. We have a couple of pictures.
Do.
We did that. Your friends
downstairs,
over there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, glad you could join us today. This week has been kind of a whirlwind week already, but we've been looking at Matthew 28. But before we jump in, we usually like to see what is going on in the world. And Brad,
is going on?
Yeah.
Other than I know our president went to the airwaves.
Well, yeah. Well, we talked about this the other day. You remember talking about Kirsten Gillibrand and what she said? She's been in the Senate now. This is a 10-year Senate veteran. Which I don't know what if that means much, but she is a leader in our government. And she said last Thursday, and we talked a little bit about it, I think, was it Monday we talked about it?
About exactly.
That she said that it's against a Christian faith to restrict abortion, that if any laws that ban or restrict abortion, she said this, quote, if you are a person of the Christian faith, one of the tenets of our faith is free will, and one of the temperate tenets of our society or our democracy is that we have a separation of church and state, and under no circumstances are we supposed to be imposing our faith on other people. Well, think about that. This is the same person that is running for president. Mm. He's one of the 24 now that are running for president, and how do you deal with that? Well, I think, you know, the way you deal with that is we keep speaking the truth in love and reminding people that free will is really kind of it's a misnomer to think that you have absolute free will to do anything you want to do, because you don't. You don't have absolute free will to kill somebody in this country, which is what abortion is. It's murder. You don't have free will to just park your car wherever you want. You know that, Brad? You can't park your car in somebody's yard. That's trespassing.
Well, Doug, how dare you tell me that?
I know.
Are you so, kidding? Hey, judge not, lest you be judged.
I know. You know? But you see what I'm saying? To say that somebody has absolute free will is kind of what she's trying to say is that God has given us a limited will, because he's given us the freedom to do some things. But I tell people all the time, I use this example, that God's ultimate will is like a ship that's leaving from London headed to New York. Now, you have a lot of things that you can exercise your will and your desires on that ship to do that do not change the course of that ship. You know, like, what color shoes am I going to wear today?
Right.
You know, am I going to lace up the right laces first or the left laces first? Now, God at any time can intervene in any of those personal will decisions, but his ultimate will not be thwarted by man in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a divine being with an unfolding plan. And that's how
But it's not an unfolding plan that he's figuring out as it goes.
No, no.
Just want to make that clear.
No, and he's not this cosmic being that just set the world in motion and said, okay, I'm done. I'm not involved anymore. No, I love what John Piper says. He is involved with the amount of spray that comes off the front of a ship going through the ocean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even the little droplets.
Yep.
He's involved with all those things, the most minute detail. If he says through his son, he knows the number of hairs on your head, and some people it's less than others, right?
Are you looking at me?
No, I'm looking at Steve, actually, back there. But anyway, but if he knows the number of hairs on our head, if he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground,
mm-hmm.
then he cares about the details of our life. And so that doesn't mean he gets involved with every detail. I do believe that, Brad, that, you know, he allows us to go inside the framework of that ship going to be able to, just to take that analogy further, to say if we want to play croquet on the ship, we can. If we want to play shuffleboard, if we want to shoot skeet or hit golf mm-hmm. balls, there's a lot of things we can do on that ship. But what he will not allow us to do is deviate from the path of that ship going from London right. to New York.
Right.
And so
I've had Doug, it's one of the fun things as I look back, interesting, one of the guys I was just meeting with who you met, just some of the conversations we've had. He's got a young family. He's talking about how the unique opportunities that God gives us to disciple our own children. Mm-hmm. And discipleship looks all sorts of different ways. But I still remember going not too long ago, we went up to, I think it's the Okefenokee or one of the national forests, and we're walking through the forest, and you look down at trees that have fallen, mm-hmm. and another tree has fallen on top of that, and just talking about how we can see God right there. We can see God's handiwork mm-hmm. in process. Now, listen, if you'd have, you'd have heard that a tree fell in the forest, you'd have thought nothing about it. But that tree fell by the sovereign will of God.
It did.
And he had a purpose in that tree falling. And that, you and I may not be impacted by it, but there may have been some bugs and some creatures and some things that were. God is intimately acquainted with every detail of our lives.
He is.
I think of Romans 1 when you say, you know, that God gave them over to their, you know, wicked desires. Mm-hmm. I do think God gives us over to, you know, what it is we want.
Yeah, I think, you know, where we do what's right in our own eyes. And like Isaiah says, we call good bad and bad good.
I mean, God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
And he accomplished his purposes with that, even that mm-hmm. hardened heart. But we have to remember that even though we may strongly disagree with someone like a Senator Gillibrand, like you pointed out the other day, she is a Roman Catholic. She's a mother, and even though we disagree with her, we are to love her. We are to, you know, and like Peter says, to reach out in such a way that we're gentle and we have a good conscience, and so that when they respond back to us, they can't talk about our evil behavior because we're so mean-spirited. Yeah. Sometimes as Christians, we can be mean-spirited to people. And we shouldn't resort to that to be able to express to her our disagreement. Mm-hmm. You can speak the truth lovingly, saying to somebody what the truth is without attacking them personally.
Yeah.
Never let, you know, your view, you don't judge their personality or don't judge them as a person, but you can talk about their beliefs, their ideology, because those are all fair game, I think. But, you know, let's remember that she is a soul created by God. Mm-hmm. Paul was a soul who was strongly opposed to Christian sure. faith. And what happened? God got a hold of him and changed him and used him in a great way.
You know, I think you have to accept the fact that you may be dealing with a blind person, a person yeah. who's in darkness, who is not aware that that is not right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that was it Paul who said, such were some of you. You know, that, hey, you were once that way.
Yeah.
So we should remember that when dealing with them.
Well, hey, I don't know. Did you hear the briefing this morning?
Mm-mm.
There was an article again in the, or it's on ABC News, trans dad tells doctors you can be a man and have a baby. And again, they're still trying to put this agenda out there that this guy named Jay Thomas, number 33 years old, said he wanted to get pregnant and spoke to his physician. And they refer to him as a he all through this, which is crazy, because a man does not possess what it takes to birth a baby. It's impossible biologically. But in our bizarro world, now you can declare that you're a man and that you're pregnant and have a baby, even though you're biologically a female. because that's the world we live in. And again, these same people you have to address with love in the way we deal with them. But hey, we're coming back. We've just, man, the first segment's already gone.
I know. Hey, glad you joined us today. You want to call 844-777-7928, SWAT Radio. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors. They offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Wednesday afternoon. Doug, great cover today at the SWAT Bible study, our last one, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
You had to buckle up because you go through 28
We went
chapters.
Through 28 chapters, what we did in 2.5 years
yeah,
in
exactly.
one day. It was fun to do that, though, and just go back and recount, and you see the... what I call the 40,000-foot view of everything
sure.
unfolding. Wasn't that neat?
Well, there's so many highlights, obviously. And that, actually, what I did is, as you were speaking, I was just taking each chapter, chapter 1, 2, 3, just go right through it. I love it. There's a lot of highlights in each chapter. And it's good. I mean, I think you can get into a Bible study and, you know, 6 weeks later you forget. What did I study? I do want to just mention, even though we are taking a break from the SWAT Bible studies, there is a Bible study that Doug and I are both a part of over on the West Side, West Side Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
8 o'clock Tuesday mornings. We will not be meeting this next Tuesday because it's the Tuesday after Memorial Day, but we will be meeting the Tuesday after that. So, listen, if you want to plug into some men, there's some godly men in that group. I mean, men that have been coming there for 15, 20 years, and it's a neat group of guys. We're actually going through the book, through Romans. So,
yeah, and again, the summer SWAT retreat is August 3rd, and it's going to be in St. Augustine from 8 to 8. We'd love for you to join us. If you want to come to that retreat, that 8 to 8 retreat, what it is, it's 2 sessions in the morning, and then you go do your activities. You can skydive. You can fish.
You can.
Yeah, you can go skydiving. We got 3 guys going skydiving. That's a tandem jump there. We have guys going, they're going to shoot. We have guys that are going to go play golf. And some guys that are just going to walk around St. Augustine. Some guys going deep sea fishing. Some guys going intercoastal fishing. And we'd love for you to join us. It's the cost is $65 if you register before July, I think it's 7th. And then after that, it goes up to $90.
There's also, just let me mention this, a lot of the men bring their sons with them. And I've brought my son, one of my sons, for 2 or 3 years, I guess. whether you're playing golf together or shooting, whatever, it's fun. We actually, I remember last year, in fact, our good friend Bennett Brown was on my team. Thank goodness. I think that majorly helped us in the shooting area. But we finished up early, went into St. Augustine, walked around the city, had some ice cream with another SWAT buddy.
It's fun.
And it is a great, great day. It's one of those days that's, it's so full. It feels like 3 days, but it's 3 days wrapped into one.
It's good. We have a good time. So if you want more information, just send an email to Doug at SWATradio.com or Brad at SWATradio.com. And this passage or the Matthew, we've been dealing with Matthew for 2.5 years. It's fun to go back and look when it started in September of 2016. It's when we started the study.
I told you it's been at least 2.5 years.
Yeah, so. I just was shocked. I knew it had been around two, but going back and really as we finished up Matthew and the resurrection, what's amazing to me is the most important hinge point of our faith was given really less than half of a chapter, you know, as we do the chapters. Mm-hmm. And then the commission was half a chapter.
Right.
By Matthew. The rest of it was all leading up.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting? It's almost like he gives all, you would have thought there would have been much more time given to the post-resurrection.
Right.
To the, you know, and to the instruction after. But he really laid out a lot of groundwork leading up to this being Messiah, starting in chapter one. And as I went back, it really took me back because, you know, as we've been working piecemeal through it, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, verse by verse, you forget about some of this stuff. But going back, it's just overwhelming the evidence that Matthew lays out that he is Messiah.
You know what I was thinking of today as you were teaching? I was thinking of these four mountain peaks that we're looking at this week, the power, the patience, the purpose, and the promise. And you see those four mountain peaks throughout the study of Matthew.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, you see his power on display regularly. You see his patience, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's throughout. With, you know, we typically go to Peter, but his patience with Thomas, you know, and then you see his purposes throughout the gospel, and you see his promise, not just in the end. I mean, we see it here at the end of Matthew 28, you know, lo, I will be with you always. What a great promise, but there's promise throughout the...
Well, I was thinking what you said. I mean, his power. I mean, when he starts healing in Matthew 8,
mm-hmm.
you know, you see those three healings there, and then
the
he teaches...
The 5,000.
Yeah, then the feeding of the 5,000, the casting out, all that stuff. You see all that stuff, but the resurrection...
It's
more than anything else he's ever done, because
right.
now he's been resurrected into really an indestructible body.
Right.
They can't kill an indestructible body.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back and, you know, I thought of a line from the movie Gladiator actually when we were watching, and, you know, they, Commodus, this evil emperor in the movies, trying to kill this guy he thought he killed. He thought he killed Maximus at the beginning of the movie, but he didn't. He got away. And he ends up coming back haunting him again. And the fact that he was a slave, but he grew into a gladiator, and that's hence the title of the movie. But one of the guys said in this movie, he has to kill your name before he kills you. And I thought about Jesus. They tried to wipe his name out. They tried to do away with it. And look, today, when you hear his name still proclaimed, people all over the world dying for him today, for that name, not because of a belief necessarily, but they say, you must deny Jesus. John Monger, when he was beaten, they said, you have to deny Jesus. Not deny his teaching. We want you to deny him, is what they said. And I think of that and think of this power for Jesus himself to appear to the disciples in his indestructible body and say, look, guys, everything I said is true. they believed it because for 40 years, according to what Chuck Colson wrote about and other people throughout history, for 40 years, those disciples maintained that story. They never deviated once. You know, Chuck Colson, I read that quote, I think, Monday. Did I read that?
Well, I don't think you did read it Monday. You did share it last week. I shared it on Friday with the men.
Do you have it in front of you?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Would you read that quote?
Let me see if I can find it.
Chuck Colson, this quote was sent out via a meme over Facebook all over during Easter, but it's a great quote that he wrote. It's a quote from his book, I think, Born Again.
Yeah.
And he deals with the resurrection. And you got to remember, the resurrection is the hinge point for our faith as believers. If the resurrection is true, we can do anything. But if it's not true, nothing really matters as far as our Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, our sins aren't paid for if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. His word isn't true. The Bible isn't true. But
Paul said we are most to be pitied.
Yeah, but if it's true, then anything's possible. Yeah. So read Chuck
Colson said this: I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible.
Isn't that great?
It's good. I mean, it's true.
It's true. He said that, you know, they couldn't keep it for 3 weeks. These guys kept it for 40 years. They were beaten and all those things that he said they went through. And so as we are looking at these four peaks, the mountain of, you know, his power, the mountain of his patience with us, his purpose for us, his promises, we're focused on the power. And specifically, we've been dealing with the post-resurrection appearances. And we've covered over the last couple of days how he deal each resurrection, post-resurrection appearance dealt, I think, Brad, with an issue that keeps us from faithfully seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
One, we looked at sorrow in Mary Magdalene. Two, fear from the other women who were returning from the tomb. He appeared to them in Matthew 28. The third appearance was to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus, and he dealt with discouragement. With Peter, he appeared to him in Luke 24, verse 33, and he dealt with failure. Then we saw the disciples without Thomas in Jerusalem, persecution. And we saw the disciples with Thomas in Jerusalem, and he dealt with Thomas's doubt. And we had looked at that. And the last one we looked at yesterday was the seven disciples by the Sea of Galilee. They were supposed to be fishing. I mean, they were supposed to be waiting on the mountain, and instead Peter had taken them fishing. And he was dealing with distraction, and we were talking about distraction and how the enemy will distract us from doing what we're supposed to do. But the eighth appearance was in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and also Mark 16 and 1 Corinthians 5, he appeared to the 11 disciples in Galilee on the mountain. And there's something interesting that it says about that in Matthew 28, verse 18, or verses 16, I think it's 18, 16, right around there, where he says, he appeared to the disciples, but some doubted. Now, this is after multiple appearances where they've seen him. Have you ever had something happen in your life and you just wonder if it really happened?
Oh, yeah.
You think you're imagining it. There's no way that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there he's dealing with something bigger than doubt, skepticism, which is something. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about how we can become skeptical because of our circumstances. Or our, you know, or our insecurities and how they make us skeptical about, is Jesus really who he said he is? And did he really do what he said he did? And am I really seeing him in my life?
Mm.
And that can really keep us from seeing him when we really start to doubt him because of skepticism. So
I like where you're going with that, Doug. I like the idea of Well, I think of where Paul said, examine yourself.
Yeah.
Is the gospel impacting your life? I just finished having good coffee with a good friend of mine. That was our discussion. How's the gospel impacting your life?
Are we going to follow him when we become skeptical?
Exactly. Hey, glad you joined us today here at SWAT Radio. If you want to call, we'd love to hear from you. 844-777-7928. You folks down up in Virginia, give us a buzz. SWAT Radio.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkestone, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm John Scott.
You can't do it under these circumstances. So get these phony investigations over with.
President Trump is angry about House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's allegations that he's engaged in a cover-up.
Speaker Pelosi's statement threw a wrench into the previously scheduled White House meeting on infrastructure between Democratic lawmakers and the president.
Instead of walking in happily into a meeting, I walk in to look at people that had just said that I was doing a cover-up. I don't do cover-ups.
The president cut the meeting short, telling Democrats that he refuses to work with them on policy until they end their phony investigations. Greg Clugston, the White House.
And the Justice Department has struck a deal with the House Intelligence Committee to hand over a cache of documents related to the Mueller report.
In a rare sign of detente, the department has agreed to begin turning over 12 categories of counterintelligence and foreign intelligence materials. The agreement led Committee Chairman Adam Schiff to postpone a meeting to enforce a subpoena to get those materials, but he says it could come later.
This does not obviate the need for the subpoena. We're going to keep that in force until we get all the documents that we're seeking. That production is going to start now.
And Schiff adds the agreement is no substitute for the need to get direct testimony from Mueller and former White House counsel Don McGahn.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Also at townhall.com, attorney Michael Avenatti charged with ripping off Stormy Daniels, the client who made him famous. Federal prosecutors say Avenatti took money Daniels was supposed to get from a book deal. And after days of storms flooding, closing highways in some 17 Kansas counties, along with more than 330 Missouri roads, and more bad weather could be on the way. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Seeing some delays because of an accident in St. Johns County on I-95 southbound, a couple miles past the World Golf Village exit. Also, there's a disabled vehicle on the East Beltway, 295 southbound beyond Bay Meadows Road, and another disabled vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 at the northbound ramp to I-10. Partly cloudy tonight, expect a low 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, high 88.
Now I don't have to look across the ages. His voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way.
SWAT Radio.
I'm sorry, I let that run a little long. We were supposed to be on, but it was so good. I'm just like, I wrote down one of the lines that he said, his word is like a flame consuming all my pain. I love that line and that thought of, you know, I will follow Christ. I want to be the man he wants me to become. You know, if you're listening to this out there today and you feel like you've blown it, you feel like, you know what, you're unusable because, you know, you've made mistakes in your life. Can I just tell you that God loves using broken people? The disciples blew it so many times. They walked with him every day for at least 2 years, right? They're walking with him and over and over. And I think I said this last week, and we're going to see this when we get out of the power part to the peak of his patience. But he kept saying, man, where's your little faith people? Come on, I'm walking with you. I'm doing all this. Right. And I think sometimes we were talking about skepticism before we go. I think the enemy makes us skeptical of his love for us, his love for us, and his power in our life, that we think, well, he's not going to give me what I need to get through this. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to come through for me the way I want him to. And let me tell you, your life may not look like you want it to look. You know, your marriage may be in trouble because of choices you've made, or it may not be because of choices you made. It may be because of choices your spouse has made. And can I just tell you, you're not responsible for what your spouse does, and you're not responsible for how they respond to you. You're only responsible for how you respond to them. Mm-hmm. And if he allows you to go through any circumstance that is difficult, that is hard and challenging, then he's allowing you to be like Job, to be able to broadcast that you have a faith and trust in him, even in the midst of difficulty. Because I'm just going to tell you, it's easy to say you love Jesus and you believe in him and you trust him when all your life situations seem to be going well.
That's right.
It's tough when things keep piling on and you feel burdened and you feel like a failure because you've blown it day after day. You keep making the same mistakes. You feel like a rat in a cage just going around the circle. And he wants you to know that his resurrection power is still there. It's still the same. And he can help you. And when he appears to those disciples on the mountain in Galilee, it says some doubted. And I can imagine that when he was there, he knows their thoughts. He's got to be thinking, really, guys? I've already shown you myself multiple times, and you're still doubting. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? But yet he didn't say, okay, Thaddeus, you're out. Bartimaeus, you're out. Thomas, I'm tired of your doubting. You're done.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. Instead, he said, go and make disciples in all nations. Isn't that encouraging, Brad?
It is. Despite their failures, despite their doubt, despite their skepticism, God, he knows. I think it really gets to the point. It's this constant reminder that you're not going out to make disciples in your own power. You're going out in the power of Christ, in the power of the gospel, in the power of the resurrection. And I mean, Doug, let's be honest here. We need that. You and I, you know, we get on the air every day. We talk about God's word. We talk about truth. We talk about discipleship, evangelism, community, you know, and yet, hey, we struggle. You know, it's this idea that we need reminders of the gospel, that in my own power, I am a failure.
Yeah.
I am going to fail miserably. I am going to be doubtful, skeptical, whatever. It's because I'm looking at me. I'm looking at my own power, which is extremely limited, by the way.
Well, we all are limited. And I was so encouraged today at SWAT. We had a new guy come, and Tim, a shout out to you. Glad you joined us today. And Joe, who was there last week, came back. Both those guys heard about SWAT on SWAT Radio. And if you're listening out there, I know we're not meeting over the summer, but that does not keep you from going to SWAT Radio. And I was sharing with Tim, We have an app. If you go to the app store, it's called, you can just type in SWAT Radio and get the app. You can go to the Google Play Store if you have a Samsung or Android device. And you can search, like we were talking about a particular subject. I just went there and I searched it, and it brought up the week that you and I were talking about it. Isn't that interesting?
James, way to go, buddy.
James, and by the way, you know, we were praying for the family of that Carson, the kid named Carson out there. I think they have set up a GoFundMe for them, and I think he's going to put that on Facebook, our Facebook page. He asked me about that, and I wanted to just let that they're trying to help that family out. That's such a tragedy. 13-year-old boy that, you know, got killed, and it was an accident. It was an accident with some other, another guy out there. It was accidental. And I will say this, and I'm not going to go into details about what exactly happened, but he got impaled with an object in his chest. And I will tell you, if you ever get impaled in your neck, your chest, or any area of your body with something, do not pull it out. He pulled whatever it was out, and he bled out. Okay, there was a guy over in Italy. I saw this in the news this morning, who got impaled with an arrow, like from a bow and arrow, went through his heart and stuck in his chest. Through his aorta, but it didn't kill him. Why? Because he went to the emergency room with the arrow in. He never tried to move it. If you ever impale yourself with anything because of an accident or you know, I was at an emergency room, Brad, one time where a guy impaled himself in the neck with a golf club because he slammed his club against a tree. It broke, ricocheted back, and stuck in his neck. Mm. But he left it in, which was a smart thing to do. So that's just a thing, but prayers go out to their family, and I think he's going to put that on there.
Let me take a break. I need to go get
I know, man. Isn't that wild?
It is wild.
But anyway, going back to what we were talking about, you know, Jesus told those disciples, go make disciples. Even though they were skeptical, he still entrusted them. And then he appeared next to 500 people in Galilee, it says in 1 Corinthians 15. Brad, a lot of people don't know this. When the Great Commission was given, he didn't only give it to those 12. There were 500 people there given that commission.
Right.
And he was sharing with them to go, because a lot of people don't believe that that Great Commission applies to them today. Hmm. They don't believe that they're to make disciples. They think that's the job of the pastor or the job of the spiritual professional. It's not. If you are a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, then he wants us to make disciples, because making disciples, we're going to see in our purpose when we get into that, is to make worshipers.
If you're a follower, you're to make followers.
Yes.
It runs, and by the way, that is runs parallel to our entire life. It doesn't matter I say this a lot, you know, is that you're making disciples.
Yeah.
It's just whether you're making disciples for Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you're out there spreading some kind of news. You're an evangelist in a lot of ways.
Well, I think his words there at the end were teaching, baptizing, you know, this whole idea of, you know, go make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always. I mean, this idea of teaching and baptizing is a command.
It is. And 500 people received that. And I love what it says over in 1 Corinthians. It says, Paul says, some are still alive. In other words, go talk to them. He's saying these people are alive. Go talk to these people. But then he appears to James in 1 Corinthians 15:7. Paul references. And I think James is an interesting appearance because he's dealing with family failure. Because James was his brother, half-brother, who didn't believe, who said he's crazy.
Yeah.
Who said, if you're really who you say you are, go to Jerusalem and reveal your power. And Jesus appears to him. Excuse me. Sometimes family failure will keep us from really following too. And he deals with that. And then the 11th appearances to the disciples at the ascension in Acts chapter 1, referenced in 1 Corinthians 15, where the disciples are looking and he's going away. He says, go be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And the angel goes, why are you guys looking up in the sky?
Yeah.
And it's like a little kid watching a parent leave when they drop them off in the church nursery. No, I don't want you to leave. That insecurity saying, I want you here. Mm. And that was the 11th appearance. And when we come back, we're going to look at the last one.
Yeah, glad you joined us today. SWAT Radio, you have a question or comment, email us at ask@swatradio.com.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Austin French, really good tune there.
This is a sound of chains breaking. Mm. I love that song, you know, Freedom Hymn. And, you know, there was a guy who didn't live in freedom. He thought he was doing the right thing, and that's the Apostle Paul, also known as Saul. Mm-hmm. And Saul was the 12th appearance, Brad, and he talks about it in Acts chapter 9. Acts 22, Acts 26, and 1 Corinthians 15, 8. He talks about he appeared, you know, Jesus appeared to him, not a vision, not a dream. It was a real appearance of Jesus Christ in his glorified state to Paul. Now, when he appeared, it blinded him.
Yeah.
And that Paul was, I think, a representation there of religious tradition. And he could not see Jesus because of his tradition. And there's a lot of people that may be listening that may have gone to the same church their entire life. They may have been trapped in so much tradition that it keeps them from seeing Jesus. There's nothing wrong with tradition that's biblical tradition, but sometimes we allow tradition to override and take authority over Scripture itself.
Yeah, people let tradition trump truth.
Yeah, and that's what Paul was doing as Saul. And Jesus appeared to him, and, you know, he told Saul, you know, why are you persecuting me, man? Why are you persecuting and hurting my people? And he changed his life forever. And that should give us hope that there's nobody that we can look at in our world that, I mean, we, you and I don't know who's in God's plan to be part of his revelation to other people. Nobody would have picked Paul on, none of the apostles. They were scared of him, remember,
sure.
early
yeah.
on?
Yep, yep.
And so, but that's the power of the resurrection to change a life.
But you know, one of the things you consistently see, even in, I'm just looking at Acts 9, you know, that when Jesus, and we were talking about this last week, the week before, when you encounter Christ, change happens. Change yes. is going to happen.
Yeah.
If, and I know we, you know, you can talk about the patience of God,
mm-hmm.
the power of God, you know, the presence of God, the power, the presence, the patience, you know, the promises. The reality is when you encounter Christ, there's going to be a changed life.
Yeah.
Not going to be a perfect life, because we still are wrapped in the flesh. We're still going to wrestle with sin. But I think it's interesting that even after, you know, Paul encountering Christ, he's told, go. You know, and he isn't told what's going to happen, really. He just says, hey, go. There's going to be something here.
Mm-hmm.
You see this, go make disciples. Listen, I think of the women who see the empty tomb. They run. They go. Despite their fear, they still went.
They went, and Paul, who was Saul at the time before his name got changed, went into a situation where he had been persecuting people. And at first, they didn't want anything to do with him. And then God brings this guy named Barnabas along to be an encouragement to mm-hmm. him and say, hey, he's okay. He's okay. Even Ananias, the first guy he really encountered, said, I've heard of this man. He's done a lot of harm to your people. And God says, I've got a plan for him. And the thing is, we don't know God's plan for people. And that's why we faithfully pray for people, and we reach out, and we trust that his power can do anything. Like that pastor said, with the resurrection, anything is possible. And that is a mountain that we should go wow about, right? Mm-hmm. When we see mm-hmm. that resurrection power. But the other one you alluded to is his patience. And in verse 7, Brad, and verse 10, there's a change that takes place in the message. In verse 7, when the angel appears to the women, he says, go tell the disciples. But in verse 10, when Jesus appears to these same women who are afraid as they go to tell the disciples, he says, go tell my brothers. That's an intimate family term. And you and I alluded to the fact that in Matthew 6, in Matthew 8, in Matthew 14, in Matthew 16, in all four of those chapters, Jesus rebukes the disciples for their little faith. Their little faith. I mean, he rebukes them. And as he rebukes them, He's rebuking them out of love, like a discipline of a father who loves his child. Listen, there's nothing wrong with somebody exhorting you if you are not doing what God would have you do. And we have a problem with that sometimes. We don't like it. But he's so patient and loving that even after all these rebukes, even after they argue about who's great, after they've already been up on the Mount of Transfiguration with him, he's so patient, and even after they deserted him, even after Peter denied him, even after all these things, he's still patient. Mm-hmm. And his patience is as big a peak as his power. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should make us go, wow, think about how patient he's been with me and you in our lives.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know, I want to get into this third peak of his purpose, because most people don't get up every morning and think about what their purpose is. They get up thinking about what they have to do in the day. They think about what they have to accomplish in the day. They think about the bills that needs to be paid, or the plans that they've made that they have to try to follow through. What would change if every follower of Jesus, when they woke up in the morning, said, God, thank you for giving me another day to live for you. What do you want me to do today? And you know what his answer is. I want you to make disciples today. Well, how do I do that? Well, you start by being a witness of who he is. Second, by then responding to people in your life that he brings that come into your life naturally. You witness to them as a lifestyle. And as you witness to them as a lifestyle, some of those people are going to go, Brad, you know what? I really need help in my spiritual life. Could we meet? Just like mm-hmm. you were meeting with that guy, mm-hmm. you know, today, mm-hmm. you meet with guys all the time mm-hmm. to build into them. That is discipling. That is making worshipers and disciplers. And he says, you know, his purpose for us is to spread his kingdom authority. We are to disciple worshipers for every nation. I remember one time a guy was really struggling with why I go to India. Why do you go over there? It's just a bunch of Hindus. And I said, yeah, but God has worshipers there who have not yet heard. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to carry that message. And so real quick on that passage, can you read that verse?
11.
Read verse 9, then read verse 16 through 20.
Okay. Verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about the women there,
Women, exactly. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him.
Wait, stop there. That's twice now.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So what happened when they meet Jesus?
They worship.
They worship. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
So here's the thing. When he says go, make, first of all, worshipers, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. You brought that up. We have a responsibility to go make disciples. That's what we're told to do. Make disciples. And the, when it says go, the imperative there is not in go, like we would think, okay, like a command to go.
It's in going.
It's like as you are going, mm-hmm. the imperative is make disciples.
Yep.
And so as you are going, we should be making disciples. And the difference between the Hebrew idea of a disciple and a Greek idea is a Greek is all about information, getting the knowledge that the teacher has. But for the Hebrew, it's about being in community around the scriptures with a passion to be like the teacher.
Hmm.
And that's the difference. And so as we are going, we are to be looking for people to be in community with around God's word that we can help teach all that he's commanded and train and help them to have a passion to be more like Jesus. And then it says, of all nations, that word there's ethnos, that's people groups.
Right.
So all people groups.
Yeah.
And that's his purpose for us, guys. And that peak is huge.
Well, I was just thinking, this statement is so all-encompassing. I actually made a note here, this repetition of all authority, all nations, all truth, all ways. Look at that. It's... you know, it's everything.
Yeah.
And I think that the idea of going to make disciples, you think about what happens when they see Jesus, they drop and they worship, you know. And Doug, I don't know about you, but I think there's a this idea that worship only takes place on Sunday morning in a church.
Uh-huh.
Our lives are to be worship.
Yeah.
And worship takes place when we're going and making disciples.
Well, worship is not just singing.
No.
It's in the word. It's the way we live our lives. You're right. It's all of that. And so we are to be out doing that. And he finishes verse 20 with this promise, I will be with you always, even the ends of the age. I think of Psalm 23:4, you know, the 23rd Psalm. Even through the valley of the shadow of death. John 14:16, I'm with you always. So never forget, does Jesus make you go wow when you see those mountain peaks? He should.
Amen, brother. Good to be with you.
Joni Alexander tomorrow.
Good.
Power Up Club.
Don't miss it. We'll be back. Take care.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online